This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, we are obviously still in lockdown. You are in your apartment right now. You, in fact, just did a bit of amateur repair work on your air conditioner, which was an interesting thing to do
during
the song. Yeah, did. Got it done.
Pulled out the old screwdriver. Got it done. There's no more humming, no more rattling. I will say it lightly spitting if you're in Gungahlin, and I would imagine specifically my area in Gungahlin.
So there you go. So there's actually a little.
Live near me.
It's a live weather update for one specific area.
My street, yeah.
Well, the rain is apparently going to continue for most of today, so there you go.
I hope so.
The designated hour of outdoor exercise is going to be for those who really want it today, because the weather's less than hospitable for a bit of outdoor activity. But speaking of really wanting some outdoor activity, there was a little bit of a situation that happened on Saturday where a 28-year-old and a 24-year-old had to call for help after they got lost while they were going for a bit of a hike in bushlands. And the problem here is they were found, they're fine. They have unfortunately been fined for breaching COVID restrictions, though, because they had said to police they'd planned like a 12-kilometre hike, apparently, which police are saying would have obviously taken longer than the designated hour of outdoor exercise. So,
yes,
ipso facto, fine, because you're not allowed to be out doing that sort of stuff. We've got to obviously stick to COVID restrictions. We're all in this together, that kind of thing. Now, look, I don't know how much the fine was. Doesn't say it here.
Yep.
But I've got a unique thing that I would, if I was in charge right now, love to get off the ground. So I don't know whether this would be the government or the police or whatever that would do this, but introduce a double or nothing policy with the fine.
What do you mean?
I'd say, look, what we'll do is you can allow the entire city to watch a live stream and you guys can have a crack at doing this 12 kilometres in under an hour and therefore not breaching your COVID restrictions anymore.
Yeah, if proving that you can do it.
If you do it, fine dropped. If you don't, fine doubled. And then we can all as a city watch two people essentially do like a cross between Survivor and The Amazing Race as they try and race against the clock to have their COVID fine removed to do this 12-kilometre hike. 12 kilometres an hour. I mean, you have to hike up. I don't know. How would it work? I don't understand if it's possible. It would be absolutely ridiculously hard. But the point is, if you could actually say with a straight face, no, we were planning to do this in an hour, double or nothing. Let's go with the fine. Let's put the fine on the line and watch these guys try and do this in an hour.
I do like this a lot. I really, really like it. I was just going to say, like, maybe we make it you have to pay 1.5 of your fine, because the amount of ads you could sell on the Facebook Live,
the
banners and stuff. Honestly, they'd be making, I know that the police worry a lot about making commission and stuff and like getting to a quota or whatever. This is the perfect way to do it. Selling Facebook ads.
Yeah, just go, you know what?
This is the way to go.
Our Amazing Race Survivor live stream of these people trying to get their fine erased will be absolutely an advertising goldmine.
It'll be going gangbusters.
A couple of things. I just like don't suggest other ways to advertise. If you want to get in touch with some advertising,
the
Canberra FM team will absolutely be happy to help you out. But also, secondly, I don't know if this is possible in an hour. So, I mean, do we as a city at the end, when they don't get it done, are we happy or are we sad? Because I feel like it actually would be depressing. You'd be like,
I'd be sad.
Oh, now I am sad for them. Yeah,
that's it. Because you want someone to win against the big man. It's like, oh, they just had to pay, $150 to the police.
The live stream just ends with a live shot of just the media wall. And this is why we're telling you, an hour a day. Yeah. Don't do any more than an hour a day.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, owning a parrot seems like it's a lot of fun, because like having an animal, something other than a human being that can talk would be insane, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You kind of... I don't know if you can, your family, I know not you or even really your parents, but your family has owned parrots before.
Oh, my grandma has a parrot that literally is, well, it's dead now, but it was so old that basically my dad, as like a 19-year-old, would go out and talk to the parrot all the time, because my dad was a weird parrot guy, apparently.
But then
when I went through puberty and started to look like my dad, the parrot started calling me Craig. So it was old enough that I started to look like my dad as a teenager, and the parrot thought I was my dad. So the parrot remembered my dad's face for like 20 years and remembered to call him his name. Like, it was insane.
That's so bizarre. That's what I mean. So they must be so smart. And if your dad's going out there and having conversations, I've met him. He seems quite sane. Must be able to have, not to the point of insanity where he's talking to animals that aren't replying back to him, but... there is a parrot in Waterloo in London who got lost, unfortunately.
Hey, my dad, you're trying to say my dad might be Dr. Doolittle? Is that what you're trying to say? He can actually just talk to all animals?
What was he talking about to them?
Yeah, no, that's
it. Was he talking about wacky hijinks, or was he just like, hey, what's up? Do you want a cracker?
We need to go.
Or was he like, hey, we need to break you out of here.
We need to find the lost treasure of old man Thompson.
You get back to me with what he was talking about.
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was an African grey parrot who went missing in London. They found him in the Waterloo train station, which is pretty strange. Like, he must have just flown down there maybe for some shelter. It was just hanging out. They brought him home. All was good. No worries. Put him in his cage and realized that he had picked up sayings that he had heard because he'd clearly been down in the subway station for a while.
He was just singing Abba's Waterloo. Saying,
Waterloo. Yeah. That's what I'd be doing. Yeah. But no, he was saying stuff like, mind the gap,
he's doing the PA announcements.
So all the PA announcements just got essentially trapped in his parrot brain, and he's like, I don't know. I just have this in here. I don't know what to do with it, so I'm just going to bleed it out. So he's saying stuff like, keep left. He was saying things like, he was doing the bing bong sound from like the train, where it's like, bing bong.
And he was imitating that.
And he was like, bing. Keep left and like watch the gap. this is exactly what I'm talking about. Why when I say like it would be fun to own a parrot, but it'd also be so dangerous because it's like when you, well, I mean, I don't really know that many people that are, but like when you have a kid that is in between like 2 and 3, or like whenever they start to learn, and you like don't know if you can say certain words around them because it's like. It's like kids have this thing in their brain where it's like, I know what you just said is not something I'm allowed to say. Mm. So I'm just going to say that all the time, everywhere, to everyone from now on. Now, this is like the exact same as a parrot.
Well, if we're going with my dad, he's a bit like Dr. Doolittle. I have a theory that babies are actually like baby geniuses. You remember that movie?
Yeah.
Because they do know swearing. They can tell swearing.
They know what it is.
Work that out. Yeah, so I think they're actually geniuses. They just know, and then that's what happens.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Got some Woolies news.
I do have some Woolies news right now.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Do you want it now?
No, I want it now.
So Woolies are apparently doing away with Ooshies, which, great.
Yep.
Fantastic. The less people I see freak out in supermarkets about little bits of plastic, the better.
Well, the Ooshies, however, rubber. Were they rubber?
They were rubber, sorry. Yeah, they were rubber. I saw, it was the closest I have ever come to a Karen experience. I saw a lady like about to freak out that the cashier was like, we don't have any, sorry, we've sold out. Like, everyone wants one, so we don't have a bunch. And she looked at me and I was like, do not do what you're about to do. Do not do what you're thinking.
You cannot have a meltdown about little rubber toys. You can't do that.
Exactly. So they've done away with that, and I think that's better for the world. If they hadn't have said that they're going to replace it with miniature Lego sets of Woolworths, like aisles, the checkout area, like essentially Woolworths Legos.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The only thing that I think that people get more fanatic about than Ooshies are Legos.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, at least the not on top of that. When the Ooshies came out and they were like the flocked versions and the glow-in-the-dark versions or whatever, people were selling them for like $200, $300, $400. Legos actually sell for $300, $400.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine when these hit eBay.
Oh,
they'll be like $5,000. This is going to make things so much worse.
I don't know.
In terms of like getting rid of plastic or rubber or whatever, you're getting a million more little pieces as opposed to just one thick one.
Quick question, because I've heard your criticisms. I, however, still think this would be rad.
I think it'd be great. I'm just worried.
Assemble the little. But no, I'm very worried too, because are they talking about doing this anytime soon? Because
I think,
we can't be having rushes on supermarkets. We can't. We already have people that have to be discouraged from panic buying toilet paper. We can't have them not panic buying collectibles as well.
I tell you the way to get us to 100% vaccination, just for Woolworths to go, look, we'll start releasing these things the second everyone's vaccinated. Because I think the crossover of the people that don't want to get vaccinated and the people that get obsessed about these things are very strong.
You know what we need to do? Yeah, this is perfect. Yeah. You need to have literally 100% vaccination rate will occur when you say, right now, Woolies, when we're all 100% vaccinated, collectible Lego sets. Coles will be doing Pokemon card collectibles and Aldi will just be doing some wild thing from the 90s that's worth millions.
They're bringing back Digimon.
Oh, my God.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
And you know what, Ned? I need to understand something a little bit better from the vantage point of my dad. And a text message that he sent yesterday completely out of the blue, which I've interpreted as him trying to pit my sister against me and me against my sister when it comes to spending money on him for gifts.
Okay.
I think
Sure.
Yeah. So this is very unusual. I'm going to read the text message to you, and it came out of the blue. My dad's birthday is in October, and Father's Day is not till like the beginning of September. So,
because I was going to say that unless it's his birthday, there's nothing really coming up that would warrant a gift from him, unless you guys do like, I don't know, you celebrate your parents' wedding anniversary.
No. This is birthday and Father's Day combined, but this. Both of those events, some distance away. That's the thing I'm trying to get you to keep in mind.
100%.
But here's what he's had to say. Guys, this, by the way, came through completely unsolicited. Important. On our family group chat, unsolicited.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't usually do this, but I got excited. Josh is putting money towards a camera, which will cover Father's Day and birthday. Thanks, big fella. My beautiful daughter just purchased me a Firebox barbecue plate and carry bag for the caravan, which will cover Father's Day, my birthday, and Christmas. Thanks, Katie.
Oh, now you know that you're spending more money.
Why was that message sent? Unless to tell me that I'm now behind in his eyes.
You're one holiday off.
I'm one holiday off. The present. This is literally, he is playing a mental game now where I now know that I am one behind my sister in terms of gifts.
How expensive are Fireboxes?
I don't know.
Because I know the camera you're getting. So it's a very nice camera.
How's this with Kate, though, too? She's gone.
Oh, so, she's replied. Not even just like, because this is what happens when my parents, and they never do, but when they do try and pit my sister and I against each other, my sisters and I against each other, as soon as they send a message, it's straight into a separate chat.
Yeah.
Being like, can you believe this? No, oh my God. Do they think we are? So Kate, your sister's gone straight for the jugular for you.
Immediately replied with, you deserve it all, Dad. Smiley face. So I've thought, you know what? I'm not going to be subjected to this kind of behavior, this kind of treatment, and I'm not going to
allow
not going to allow myself to be intimidated by this and
this bully mentality.
So what I've done is this message came through at 10 past midday yesterday. Kate's replied almost immediately. I waited until 10 past 7 last night and just replied, ditto.
I won't fall into your games, Father.
I'm not going to play this game. And you know what? As my dad once used to threaten, now that Dad's pulled this card, I'm cancelling Christmas, quite frankly. I'm absolutely cancelling Christmas.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Look, as strange as this all is for us on a Monday, and as tired as I am right now, the great news is it's not as strange as what's happened to a guy over in the US, and we're not as tired as he obviously was either, because what's happened is, unfortunately, this man he's had some pretty unfortunate luck, because people have had to come and collect his dead body. And what's happened is he's fallen asleep on the sandbank of a river, sort of out in the middle of the river, sort of got a bit of running water next to him and all that sort of stuff, and called the authorities to come in and collect his corpse. And as the authorities have gone over to him and nudged him, he's woken up from his nap. He was only having a nap, but people on the bank of the river was like, oh my God, there's a dead body out in the middle of the river. This guy was just napping. What a nap. I mean,
How asleep have you got to be?
Nap Force One. This guy is the number one in napping all over the world, because honestly, the people on the shore were shouting out to him. They were trying to get his attention just to make sure he wasn't just sleeping. Yeah, no, they thought he was fully dead. And this guy pretty much, for all intents and purposes, was dead to the world, just not actually dead.
I guess if I was also like, I mean, if I was asleep, I wouldn't be doing really anything. But if I was like trying to have a nice relaxing afternoon in the sun to myself by the shore of a river or whatever.
Yeah.
And people were screaming at me from across a bank, I probably wouldn't pay much attention to that either. I'd be like,
kids.
Go about your days.
What are they doing?
They're trying to pester me, whatever. But at the same time, how still and how long do you have to sustain it for people to start going, I think that guy's dead?
Well, and this is
like, walkers by would still have to be like, oh, that guy's probably having a sleep. Come back, he's still in the exact same position. Maybe watch him for 20 minutes and be like, oh, that guy's 100% dead.
He's just gone. Absolutely.
There's no other option. That guy's just dead.
I want to know what the whole system of how long have these people been watching before they've panicked and called and brought in the coroner, essentially. Because, he must have moved a little bit. Like, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Just a position adjustment or like a little twitch or something.
That's exactly what I mean. How still and how long did he sustain that for people to be like, this guy's really not moving at all? Because I would imagine even dead bodies move a little bit.
So look, the moral of this story is obviously, if you're feeling super tired this morning, welcome to the club. But as long as you're moving, even a little bit, you're doing better than this guy. As long as no one's worrying if you're dead, you're doing better than this guy.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, I got scammed over the weekend just gone because in pursuit of trying to get you some equipment to use for the show, I was trying to unlock one of my really old iPads. I have an iPad that's been under my bed and I haven't turned it on since like 2000 and whenever. And so I went through a whole lot of things because it was an old Apple ID that essentially had locked my iPad and I'd forgotten the login to any of that stuff. And then so I've been on the phone to Apple and they were like, yeah, we've essentially, you've unchecked the box here in your two-factor thing where we're not allowed to help you. You asked us not to let because I was so paranoid. I said, I'll never lose the password. I'll never lose my recovery key. I've lost both of them. And Apple are like, you know, you told us not to let you do what you're trying to do right now. So I'm sorry.
This is exactly what you were saying was not going to happen.
We actually can't help you. So then I went online, did some, and then you get to some dodgy parts of the internet. And there was a program apparently you could download to circumvent this. And I paid $100 and I got it. And the thing, the program, I plugged it in, did it all, and the program came up on the screen with just reset the iPad. It showed you how to reset the iPad, and I'm like, I've obviously tried that. Yeah. Why have I just paid $100 for this? And then
I thought you were going to,
while I was furious about that, I actually just started scrolling the internet randomly and found a story about Sting, obviously lead singer of The Police, and I calmed down pretty quickly about being scammed. This was almost like the universe put this story in front of me at exactly the right moment. So essentially what happened was Sting and his wife were looking to buy a bit of property in Tuscany, and they found this beautiful like rundown kind of like chalet thing. They're like, we're going to fix it up. It's going to be great. Now, the guy who was selling it to them was also trying to offload the vineyard that was attached to the property. It was like, we're going to sell this all in one go. You can buy all of it. And Sting's like, well, I don't really know anything about wineries.
I have no need for a vineyard.
I just want this nice house and we can turn it into a nice sort of, you know.
I enjoy drinking wine. I don't know how to put it into barrels and stuff.
And with that in mind, what happened was the guy then poured Sting a glass of wine, offered a glass of red from the carafe is what he said.
This is sounding like The Godfather Part 4. Yeah. he went to Tuscany to buy a house and someone offered him some red wine.
So he's offered red wine and this guy's been like, here it is. See if you want to reconsider. And Sting said it was some of the nicest wine he's ever had, and he agreed to buy the vineyard. He went, yep, done.
God,
no problem.
What a risk this guy's taken. He's like, I'm so certain with my mind that you want to buy it from out from underneath me.
Wait for the rest of the story, because what's happened is Sting's then invited a bunch of his guests around, served wine from the winery, saw people tipping the wine into flower beds. It was that disgusting. The guy who sold him the property had bought him like another bottle from another winery and poured like a really nice glass of wine and Sting was like, to this guy's credit, he didn't technically say where the wine was from. Yeah. He just said, have you ever tried wine? Enjoy this wine. And Sting just thought it was from the winery.
That's when you know you have too much money, when you don't ask anything more than like, oh, well, I've had a glass of wine. That's like all of the research I need to do. Why would you not go like, hey, bring me a bottle. I'll take it to my wife, or like, hey, I'll give this to my parents or whatever. Why would you not ask for more?
Just more, even just to look at the label. Oh, what a nice drop. Can I have put the carafe away? Can I have a look at the actual bottle this came out of just to make sure I know where it's come from? What's happened, and this is where the real rich part of this comes in, because being scammed is one thing, but Sting's, this is the quote, it was then that we decided to avenge ourselves and show that it was possible to produce excellent wine from the vineyards. And now his wine's like award winning. So he's turned the whole thing around. And this is the quote, I was provoked to make good wine as revenge. That's what he said.
Yeah, well. All right. God, it must be fun being rich, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here nearly crying about being scammed out of $100. Sting's like, yep, that's millions. And now I'm going to make it a successful business as well.
A spite vineyard.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a place in North Yorkshire, which I'm guessing is probably somewhere in Great Britain. It sounds very Great British-ish. But there is a church at St. Mary's called the Whitby Abbey, which is having a bit of trouble at the moment because in the incredibly popular book and then TV shows and movies that have come out of it, Bram Stoker's Dracula, in that book and in all those TV shows and movies and stuff, he's buried at St. Mary's Church in North Yorkshire.
Yeah, right.
And so recently, I don't know why recently, maybe this is just like the amalgamation of everyone who's come over the last 50 years or whatever, but they've had to start putting up signs saying, please do not ask the staff where Dracula's grave is there, because there isn't one. Thank you. So they've clearly gotten pretty fed up of people just coming up and like maybe your big Dracula, your goth fans, your Dracula fans come out being like, oh, show us Dracula's grave.
Mm.
And they're having to go, this, first of all, this is a church and Dracula is not a, not what we're about. B, actual people are buried here. Mm-hmm. And C, there is, that's a fictional character. It's like you're asking me where Winnie the where the Hundred Acre Woods is. There is no such thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. It's not real.
I'm very grateful because this would be in the story. So there's obviously nobody buried there who's real, whose name's like Drax Lars or something like that. You know, it's very lucky because you know how there's like that Titanic memorial and there's actually a Jay Dawson and people think that's Jack. Like it's very lucky there's not even something close there. Like they're able to just go, no, go, nothing here. Nothing here for you to see.
There's a long-running joke in Scrubs about writing a teleplay about Dr. Acula.
Yeah, so, right.
Also great, there's no Dr. Aculas
there. Yeah, that's fantastic news.
But how bad must it have gotten for them to be like, all right, start putting up signs, because that means you. I think you have to be asked at least once a day. Someone in the church needs to be asked once a day about Dracula.
Or I have a very low patience threshold. Like it's happened twice in a year, and they're like, right, we're putting up signs. This is, I've had
someone
enough of this.
New started. He's got like, enough of this. This is so dumb and not our job.
The shortest fuse ever. I think there's majorly, there mustn't be any available land around this church. And I tell you why, because if you're not the proprietor, because they're all over the world, if you're not a proprietor of like a Dracula's themed restaurant and you're not putting that up within a block of this church, you're missing a golden money making, a money printing opportunity here, quite frankly.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.